Welcome to Mom to Mom Radio Show, your time of encouragement, mom to mom. I'm Cindy Rushton, your hostess. We have a great show planned for you today. You want to see our show notes? We'll see them on our website at www.momtomomradioshow.com. And while you're online, drop by our website at www.cindyrushton.com. Ready for a new show? Well, grab a big cup of tea, settle in for a bit. It is now time for another Mom to Mom Radio Show. Well, good morning, everybody. This is Cindy Rushton, and we're here for another Mom to Mom Radio Show. Are you excited? Well, you would be if you knew what this was going to be about. I am so excited about today's show. We're going to be welcoming Stephen Kendrick from FireproofTheMovie.com. Do you hear that? Fireproof. It's my favorite movie of the whole year. I think it's my favorite movie ever. And that's saying a lot because it had to beat Facing the Giants. And so I'm excited that you guys are here to join us with this show. If you're not familiar with Mom to Mom Radio Show, you can find us online at momtomomradioshow.com. You can also find us at iTunes. Just look for either Cindy Rushton or Mom to Mom Radio Show and tune in regularly. We have already 3 years of wonderful shows that you can still download right there online. Not to mention, we're entering our fourth year. Can you believe it? January, we celebrate our birthday. So you guys, check out the past archives and plan to make us a regular time Mom to Mom. Well, grab your cup of tea. Settle in for a bit because we're going to have a great show. Today, I want to welcome Stephen Kendrick. And so, Stephen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Cindy, it's my honor to come on the program. Thank you for letting me.
Thank you. Well, I want to just dig deep today. I'm a writer, and I love to speak. Actually, Daddy said I like to talk too much, but we're not going to go there today.
Right, okay.
But I like to dig into the story behind things and really, really dig out the stuff that nobody else knows, okay?
Okay.
So I first of all would like to know about you. Tell us all about who you are, your heart passions. I would assume it's going to be first your marriage, right? Oh, no,
okay.
First, your Lord.
Right. Well, I love Jesus Christ with all my heart, and he saved me as a teenager, and I surrendered completely to him in 10th grade. And I've been just trying to serve him in ministry for a while. My wife, Jill, and I live in Albany, Georgia. We're on staff at Sherwood Baptist Church in Albany, and we have four children. Grant is 7, Cohen is 4, Karis is 2, and John is our newborn. He's about 7 weeks old. And so, so we're thrilled about him being in our lives now. And I am over the prayer ministry at our church. I also do ministry events. I preach for our pastor when he's gone. I do some discipleship for adults, marriage counseling, and then I work on the movie productions for the movies. So that's kind of where I am now. And there's a whole lot more. A backstory about, you know, how God brought us to this place, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, and see, that's what I want to know also. Can you give us kind of that backstory on, let me just mention, first of all, you guys are responsible for 3 movies.
Flywheel.
Flywheel, Facing the Giants, which, by the way, wow. That movie, I remember at the end I was thinking, how can anybody get up like a regular movie and leave this place without just praising God? And I just sat there and praised God.
Amen.
I know that may have been the craziest thing you ever heard, but
that's what we wanted to happen.
Yes, I was in just worship of the Lord. It was just fabulous. And, you know, Fireproof just took it another step up. This is my all-time favorite movie. I thought it was hard to beat Facing the Giants, but Fireproof, wow. So you guys have produced these 3 amazing movies. You've also got my favorite book, the one I'm reading right now myself. I found it in Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
Actually, I wanted it when I saw the movie. I said, they should be selling these at the door.
Oh, yeah.
I would buy that. I would buy it no matter what it costs. But you've written the book with your brother. Isn't that right?
That's right. That's right. We did that as well. We knew when God had called us to make Fireproof that he was calling us to both make the movie and write the book. And so I had been doing marriage counseling for years. I had been doing Bible study series and that I had been writing on love and relationships and marriage. And it was one of those deals where the light bulb went on when the Lord told us, this is what I want you to make the movie about. And it was like we realized God has been preparing us for years to make this movie and to write this book. And I just thought about Ephesians 2:10, that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do the good works that he's prepared beforehand for us to do. And so the Lord every day is preparing us for a great work, and he does not waste scars or experiences or anything else.
Wow.
And we just need to be ready for when he says, I want you to do this, then the light bulb will go on and you'll say, oh my goodness. I now look back and see so many things that I thought were wasted, vain experiences in my life. He's now using them and redeeming them for good and for his glory. And so that's what he did with the Love Dare book and with Fireproof the Movie.
Oh, wow. Wow. And I can see that. You know, I had to go through some really tough times to get just a few of these lessons. To me, I'm glad you've given me some I don't think I need to go through tough times for.
Right.
But this is like having, I've always said, one of the things God gave me when Harold and I were in the pit with our marriage, I mean, I say in the pit, we were in rubbish. We were messed up. And God saved our marriage mightily, because we were so beyond anything. I couldn't believe what two Christians could do in a marriage, but hello. Anyway, I remember sitting there and the Lord saying, Cindy, if you will live out 1 Corinthians 13, that was your wedding vow. If you will live it out and live it out every day, I will take care of everything else.
Wow.
And this book is like 1 Corinthians 13 explained. Did you plan it that way?
We did. We knew that God, that we needed to focus in on love. You know, Jesus said, if you boil down the Old Testament commands, it really comes down to loving God with an agape love and loving your neighbor as yourself. And so, and multiple times in the New Testament, that same concept is communicated, that Paul says in Ephesians that we need to be rooted and grounded in love, which means it is our soil and it is also the foundation for anything that we build, that love is our driving motivation. And 1 Peter, when he says, above all these things that I'm telling you, walk in love towards one another and live a life of love. And so when we do that, and that is of the Lord, what he told you, Cindy, because if we focus in on loving so many other things, we're not going to be jealous, we're not going to be selfish, we're not going to be impatient, we're not going to be easily angered. There's so many great things happen because God is that way within the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit love one another. And Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. And so you see a picture there of us copying God, in a sense, and living out what he's wired us to do when we die to ourselves daily and we begin to live a life of love through him. And so that's what it's all about.
I agree. And it fixes so many things. I was mentioning to you before our call that one of the things I would like to talk about, that I'd like to just read a sample of your Love Dare. And then I want to talk about Fireproof. Don't stick with me, okay?
Sure.
Because there's so many, when I was thinking how much I want to ask you, I really could talk to you a week. But this is so powerful. I want to read a sample from the Love Dare, and it's actually day 13. Let me tell you, I hated to not do the whole book, but that's not what we're here for. But I think it's so important to just read this, and somebody out there in the listening audience probably needs to hear this. Like, I wish I had heard this from the beginning of my marriage. And by the way, guess what? My son is about to get married to his precious fiance, and this book is just perfect for them as they begin their marriage, but it's also great for this. The book and the video, everything is essential for anybody, don't you think?
Absolutely. We wrote it so that couples who are engaged, or if they've been married for 50 years, that they're going to, again, be taken back to what God's Word says about love and marriage. And anytime we plant God's Word into our hearts, it's going to bear fruit.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let me read this sample. And some people are going to go, why'd you pick this when you could have picked unconditional love? Oh, it's only because I had to pick one.
Okay.
But I want to read day 13. It's Love Fights Fair. Now, for somebody out there, you need to hear this, and I know, because this is something I wish I had heard. It says here, it starts with a Bible verse, and by the way, this can be used as a devotional, right?
Yes.
That's what it's supposed to be, as a daily devotional. It says, if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand, Mark 3:25. Like it or not, conflict in marriage is simply inevitable. When you tie the knot as a bride and groom, you join not only your hopes and dreams, but also your hurts, fears, imperfections, and emotional baggage. Tell that to a newlywed.
Yes, they need to know it.
Oh, from the moment you unpacked from your honeymoon, you began the real process of unpacking one another. Wow, that's good. Unpleasantly discovering how sinful and selfish each of you could be. You're so honest. Pretty soon your mate started to slip off your lofty pedestal and you off theirs. The forced closeness of marriage began stripping away your public facades, exposing your private problems and secret habits. Welcome to fallen humanity. At this time, the storms of life began testing and revealing what you're really made of. Work demands, health issues, in-law arguments, and financial needs flared up in varying degrees, adding pressure and heat to the relationship. This sets the stage for disagreements to break out between the two of you. You argued and fought. You hurt. You experience conflict, but you're not alone. Every couple goes through it. I think that's something we needed to hear.
Yeah.
It's par for the course, but not every couple survives it. Wow. So don't think living out today's dare will drive out all conflict from your marriage. Instead, this is about dealing with the conflict in such a way that you come out healthier on the other side, both of you, together. I love this. Okay. The deepest, most heartbreaking damage you will ever do or have ever done to your marriage will most likely occur in the thick of conflict. That's because this is when your pride is the strongest, your anger is the hottest, you're the most selfish and judgmental, your words contain the most venom, you make the worst decisions. A great marriage on Monday can start driving off the cliff on Tuesday if unbridled conflict takes over and neither of you has your foot on the brakes. That's exactly what happened to Harold and me. We both thought we could just love each other and that would be just enough, but love was not really love when we were not having our foot on the brake, is it?
Right, that's right.
Oh, this is so good. But love steps in and changes things. I love this. Love reminds you that your marriage is too valuable to allow it to self-destruct and that your love for your spouse is more important than whatever you're fighting about. Hallelujah, that should be a picture in my house. Love helps you to install airbags that set up guardrails in your relationship. It reminds you that conflict can actually be turned around for good. Married couples who learn to work through conflict tend to be closer, more trusting, more intimate, and enjoy a much deeper connection afterwards. But how? This is so good. You give us not even the problem, but you also give us the biblical solution. Here it says, the wisest way is to learn to fight clean and by establishing healthy rules of engagement. If you don't have guidelines for how you approach hot topics, you won't stay in bounds when the action heats up. Basically, there are two types of boundaries for dealing with conflict, we boundaries and me boundaries. We boundaries are the rules that we both agree on beforehand that apply during any fight or altercation, and each of you has the right to gently but directly enforce them if the rules are violated. These could include, number one, we will never mention divorce. Amen.
Yes.
We will not bring up old, unrelated items from the past. That's a very good tip. A very good principle. I'm sorry, sorry, sorry. We will never fight in public or in front of the children. Ouch. We will call a time out if conflict escalates to a damaging level. Number five, we will never touch one another in a harmful way. Number six, we will never go to bed angry with one another. And number seven, I love this, failure is not an option. Whatever it takes, we will work this out. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And then the me boundaries, I think they're just as good. The me boundaries are the rules that are rules you personally practice on your own. Here are some of the most effective examples. Number one, I will listen before speaking. Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, James 1:19. Number two, I will deal with my own issues up front. Why do you look at the speck that's in another brother's eye, but you don't notice the lock that's in your own eye? Matthew 7:3, that that verse is always slaughtered to my heart, even when I'm not guilty of anything.
Yeah, you're ready to start saying something, and then God right at that moment says, why don't you deal with your stuff before you start attacking them? And you're like, oh, you know. So,
oh, that hurts. God, can't you help me with them first?
Yeah.
I'll be glad to fix it afterwards. Hello.
Yeah, right.
And then I will speak gently and keep my voice down. I'm sorry. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I think I know my problems now. Proverbs 15:1. Now, I love this. Fighting fair means changing your weapons, disagreeing with dignity. It should result in building a bridge instead of burning one down. Remember, love is not a fight, but it's always worth fighting for. Stephen, can I just tell you that your book blows me away, because this is not your typical book. It's not your typical devotional. In fact, I hope that everybody who heard this realizes it's not your typical marriage book, because so many marriage books, you read them and you think, oh, these people don't know where I'm at. They don't know my spouse. They don't know me. They don't know where I messed up. They don't know how he's messed up. You know, we make all these justifications and we really don't apply what we read, yet your book, your movie, gets right down to the core and says, it begins with me today. That's what I took from it.
Well, and we can't change anyone else's heart, and that's what we're always trying to do. We get married, and God has given us a front row seat of all the imperfections of our spouse, and he didn't do that so that we can attack them and belittle them and kick them while they're down.
Mm.
He did that so that we can be the first person to be praying for them. Because you will know things about your husband or wife that no one else can see, and you will be able to intercede for them like nobody else. And when God puts you together, he gave you this prayer partner for life. If two or agree as touching anything, you know, God hears them from heaven, and his presence is there when they're meeting in his name. But sometimes a husband or wife, they don't have a believing husband or wife, and so they're in a situation where the first thing they need to be praying for is their salvation, that God would bring them to Christ. But it is through our focusing in on ourselves, it's through our loving unconditionally and doing what we're responsible to do and dealing with our issues and welcoming this person into our lives to help us become more like Jesus. Because you can become the anchor holding your spouse back, or you can be the other wing helping them to fly and to soar. And the Lord is trying to work all things together for good to conform us to the image of Christ. And so he wants your spouse to be a key person to help point out the things that are not like Jesus in your life, the rough edges, and for you to welcome that into your life. Just like when Jesus said in John 15, he said, when the Father sees branches in me that are not bearing fruit, he will come in and take those away, or he'll prune me. And Jesus is welcoming the pruning of his loving Father so that he can be more fruitful. And we need to do that with our spouse. I welcome for my wife. In fact, I go to my wife and I sit down with her and I say, I want you to, you know, what are some things that are in my life that I'm doing that are not like Jesus? And what are some things that you perceive as not being very loving towards you and the kids? And she has unique insights and will see blind spots into my life that I don't see. Mm-hmm. But what we tend to do is when they point out things in our lives, we counterattack and point out things in their lives. And that just this escalates into this hateful conversation, and we're very disrespectful during those times of conflict. So we tell people in this day, think about this. People have died in the boxing ring. Two men get in the boxing ring and they're starting to slug away and they've died. What if they went into the boxing ring with knives and with guns? What's going to happen? Okay, and then you say, what if they went into the boxing ring with pillows and water balloons? If you change your weapons, then you're going to have a different result. Well, what we tend to do in conflict in our marriages is we step into the ring doing what our parents did or doing what we feel like doing, and we're very venomous and angry, and we're attacking, and we're just punching below the belt. We're using very harsh words. We're just cutting people down. And what if we instead stepped into the ring, in a sense, if we're having conflict with our spouse, and being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger is one of our weapons, being prayerful and going to the Word of God is one of our weapons, and instead of attacking them, we end up working with them through issues together, and we're better in our relationship. We're more like Jesus individually, and there's more of a love bond between us as a result of it.
Oh, I love it. I love it. You see, that makes me want to do that. And yet, you know, really, that's risky, because you're saying, you know, here, to me, that, like, even here reading this, you know, where I said, oh, you know, you can hear me choking on, you know, these three principles for me, you know, okay, being quick to hear.
Yes.
I'd rather say my piece. Oh, and that's
right.
So dangerous. That is so dangerous for our relationship. That's not what we really want, is it?
Well, and fear oftentimes causes us to react the way we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We're fearful that we're going to be rejected. We're fearful of not being loved. We're fearful of not being respected and valued. And oftentimes those are all about us again.
Mm-hmm.
We're worried about ourselves. And if we will really, truly, not just in our head quoting John 3:16, but if we will truly in our heart of hearts do what Ephesians 3 says, and we will allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the depth, the width, the height, the love of God for mm-hmm. us. And I look at the cross. It's not just a statement. It is an event. It's a fact. It's a historic thing that really happened that shouted from heaven, I love you,
mm-hmm.
period. I don't love you because you're lovable. I love you because I'm so loving, and I've chosen to love you, period. And when we realize that God loves us and we accept that, then we can relax. And then when we go into conflict, we can say, you know what, it's okay if you point out some issues that I have that need work. It's okay if I feel disrespected in a moment because you're telling me the truth about something in my life, because I am mm-hmm. loved in the midst of all this, and that's not going to change.
Yeah, and that's really the ultimate respect. If someone does bring to us something that will make us more like Jesus, that's really the ultimate respect if they deliver it in love.
Well, and even if they don't know that they're doing that, even if they're lost,
well,
God,
yeah.
God is doing it. God is at work. God is using this person mm. in your life to conform you to the image of Christ. He's going to, again, work all things together for good around your life
wow.
to point out, here are some areas that are not like Jesus. And sometimes he'll encourage us to, you know, in certain areas, and it makes us want to be like Christ. Sometimes he will use his word, you know, daily as we're reading it. But mm-hmm. sometimes he'll use the painful truth to point out areas. And if we will either be humiliated and prideful and angry and bitter and sit in a corner and pat about it,
uh-huh.
or we will allow it to humble us, which is a great place to be. And
yeah.
God says, when you're humbled, my grace will be poured out on you. I receive the humble. I embrace the humble. I use the humble. And that's when we're more like Jesus.
Wow, wow. So it's even better if somebody brings it to you bad and you're really getting it and you're humble, right?
Well, and on day 18, we talked about studying your spouse and
uh-huh.
going to them. And there's another day, too, where you go to them and you just say, oh, it's on the love is not easily irritated or rude. And we say, what happens if you go to your spouse and you say, would you tell me two or three areas of my life where I've been irritating to you, where I've not been very, you know, where I've been rude to you? And, you know, men, it may be table manners, it may be bodily voices,
honey.
It may be, you know, but women, it may be nagging, it may be treating your husband, it may be being easily irritated, you know, if the rudeness can come in a different package, you know.
Yeah.
But when we go to them and say, you know what, I'm going to let you work on me a little bit. Let's not overwhelm me with 475 things, you know.
Yeah.
But let's give me two or three things that I can work on.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hear out your spouse and then you really genuinely make an effort to work on those things, that communicates love to them.
Mm.
It again, is removing those areas of conflict and the spurs, in a sense, in the relationship so that
wow.
we can live in that kind of harmonious environment.
Well, you know, I'm thinking from a wife's perspective how respectful that would be to our husbands. They really need respect.
Yes.
And how respectful that would be for us to actually want to hear things that they would like to see us improve, things that they care about. It's not that they want to pick us to pieces. It's that they want to see us be the very best that we can be. And
yes.
how respectful and honoring that is to them, I can only imagine. Even today when I try this one on Harold, if he doesn't say, wow, that's good, that's really good. He might
yeah.
be afraid to answer, right? Ugh.
Well, what tends to happen, they do. They will hesitate because they're going to think, all right, you know, I've got a few things here, but this may hurt. And so,
uh-huh.
But if you sit down with them and you pray through it first and say, Lord, I'm going to be hard to offend here. I'm going to receive this as from you.
Mm.
I mean, they already know this anyway. I might as well know about it, you know. And I'm going to let my spouse work on me a little bit. And then you open up your heart a little bit to them and you say, okay, what are some areas that I can work on to improve our marriage? How can I make you feel more loved here, you know?
Wow.
And then what tends to happen, though, and this happens with me and my wife, when I work on me, she begins to open up and say, okay, now that I've shared that with you, what are a few things that I can work on too?
Wow.
And instead of us fighting and yelling those things at one another as attacks and as knives and as daggers, we're now sharing the same truths with one another, but we're doing it in a safe environment of love.
Wow.
And we're inviting it and we're welcoming it rather than forcing it on someone else.
Ooh, that's really good. Wow, wow, wow. And you know what? That's so like what we weren't trained up. And I'm not dinging parents. I have trained my own kids not this way. You know, I haven't even trained my own kids quite this way, you know?
Yes.
Because, you know, like I said, this is something God has worked on me the past, really last 5 years. And I'm not good at this, but I want to be. And that is, wow, this is good. This is some really good strategy for really, this is building your marriage. This is just building 101, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think that a key issue here is you need to spend some time with the Lord first before you go in there, because you need to have that sense of security and stability in His love first. Because if you're very insecure, you don't really believe that God loves you, you don't feel secure in His promises from His Word, then you may go in and you're afraid of being rejected and unloved and all of those things your spouse says, even if they say it in a loving way, you can't handle it because you're afraid, you know, in the midst of that. And fear causes us to overreact and to panic and to counterattack and those things. And so so get to that place where say, Lord, I have been blessed by you. You've loved me through the cross. You've forgiven all my sins. You who began a good work in me will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. You're the author and perfecter of my faith. You love me, and you're working on me at the same time. And so when I go in to open up myself to my spouse, I'm coming from a place of stability and security in you so that I can handle what they're going to share with me.
Well, can I ask you something?
Sure.
Do you think that maybe, I think personally, there are a lot of marriages that are not at the place they can do this. That I think that maybe 40 days in your book, The Love Dare, would be the perfect place to begin, and it may even take more than 40 days. I love the movie that took more than 40 days.
Yes,
I was thinking,
Woo,
40 days, woohoo! And I was so excited when I shouldn't be telling this, should I?
Now you can tell it.
Okay, they'll forget it, won't they?
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, when it got to that point, I was like, hallelujah, this is so real. This is so real, because I remember in my marriage, again, going back to our rubbish point, It was a couple of years of us rebuilding.
Yes.
I'll never forget, and this is, you'll love this, maybe you can use it somewhere, but we sat in our driveway one night. Harold had decided we needed to date. Now, our kids were old enough that a lot of kids date at that age. Ours didn't. Our kids were, you know, my son just started dating his, quote, fiancé this year. He's 21, almost 22.
Okay.
And he waited for her. And
That's
a beautiful story. We need to talk privately about that. You'll love it. But then my daughter doesn't date. And so anyway, long story short, when they got to be young, I mean, they were about 12 or 13. Matthew's about 12 or 13, to where he could actually babysit Elizabeth for us. And, of course, we never had anybody to leave them with. And, you know, we're like a lot of American couples where we had to move away for the job and you know, families far, far away. So we didn't have the support system we should. And that's probably one of the things I'm real committed to with my kids. I want to make sure that as they have children that we can somehow be there for them.
Yeah.
But we didn't. And so one day he said, Cindy, I want to take you to dinner. And I was like, dinner? What about the kids? He said, I've already taken care of making sure they're okay. He said, they've got food. I've taken care of it. And he said, I want you to get dressed, and I'm going to take you out to dinner. Well, I about fell on the floor because our marriage was in shambles. Did I mention that? I thought there was no more that we could do to continue. And God wouldn't let me divorce. That's another whole story. But anyway, we came back. We went to that date, and I realized we did not have anything we could talk about. It scared me.
Yeah.
I realized all I could talk about was the kids and homeschooling, and then I was out. And then I thought about the business, and we could talk about that. That was not enough to fill a dinner at Cracker Barrel. and so I was sitting there. I said, we're messed up. What are we going to do when the kids grow up? I always thought that we had a good marriage, and maybe I don't even know how to talk to him anymore. The only thing I knew how to do was to sling out stupid comments that were mean and argue. We're real good at arguing. Both of us could make our case. Neither one of us listened to each other.
Yeah.
It was just all of that stuff. And so anyway, I go to dinner, and I literally was devastated sitting there going, I don't know him. He was my best friend for so long, and I don't know him. And so we come back to the house, and he could tell something was going through my mind, and he said, are you okay? I said, our house we built has weathered storms and not been shaken at all. And I said, you want to know what I think? I think of our marriage. I'm shocked. I thought that God's ways worked. And I said, but... And this, I haven't ended this, but they do. But I said, I thought they worked, and yet I feel like we're sitting here in a marriage that is literally like a storm has ravaged and destroyed, and we're sitting in the debris and the mess. And I said, I don't even know where to start. And he said, I'll start with you.
Mm.
And he said, God's ways do work.
Yes,
and he said, we will begin again, and we'll keep on. And that was a changing point for our marriage. And so I really look at this, and God, what he did for me, he pulled me apart, and he said, Cindy, I want to minister to your heart. I want you to come to me and pour all this out, and I want to show you each day how to walk in the Spirit. This book does a beautiful job of bringing us to the point of letting us see some blind spots. We can see strategy. We can see God's word. It can reprove us, inspire us, and everything. So do you think that the person who's saying, I'm in a mess right now, that this might be a good beginning for them?
Absolutely, because the key to the love dare is the scripture. And,
mm-hmm.
and what we do every day is we try to follow Paul's model with the epistles. He would spend the first few chapters of each of his epistle laying out truth about God and about us. And then he would get into the application on the last part of the epistle. You know, in light of all this, and,
mm-hmm.
and because of, therefore, brethren, you know, do this. So what we try to do with every Love Dare Day is to take one of the attributes of love that's from Scripture and then lay out truth about that like we just read, and then we get to the application. Here's the dare for the day. You know, here's
mm-hmm.
here's a small little baby step that you can take to try to begin to implement this into your life. And so it doesn't matter where people are. If they're, I mean, there are couples that have already been through the divorce, and now they're going through the love dare, and God has been bringing healing and restoration to their marriages. And it's because anytime we apply his word, he blesses that, and we experience
mm-hmm.
him, and our lives are lining back up with the way he designed us to be. And so,
oh yeah,
that's the whole key of the love dare. It's not our, you know, magic or, you know, what we have
mm-hmm.
some special formula. No, we go back to the word, and we're making it a fun adventure that you go through with your spouse, and it's a way to, it's a good launching pad, because so many of the things in the love dare are challenging you to begin a new habit, to begin a new attitude in your relationship and in your life. And the Lord is going to bless that when we begin to obey him.
Oh, absolutely. Well, now I have a question that almost every time we talk about marriage, and I think you've answered this, but I want to bring it out. Almost every time we talk about marriage here with Mom to Mom, when we do live events, there's always a question that comes up that I really like to hear guys answer, and I'd love to hear you answer this one.
Okay.
And it's, what do I do if my husband is so shut down? I can't get him to talk. I can't get him to plan with me. I can't get him to be involved with the kids. He seems to be detached. What do I do? And I can't wait for your answer.
Well, ultimately, like we talked about earlier, you can't change your spouse. Only God can.
Amen.
And what we communicate in the Love Dare book is, you know, a farmer can't force a seed to grow, but a farmer can create an environment for that seed to bloom. It can put it in fertile soil. It can be giving it the sunshine, pulling up the weeds, giving it the water, everything that it needs. And it is our responsibility through our love, our respect, and our prayer life to try to create that environment for our spouse, because prayer really does work. We put in the last, in the appendix of the Love Dare, 10 different things that Scripture says that cause our prayers to be ineffective, and then 10 other things that Scripture says causing our prayers to be very effective. We call them the locks and the keys of prayer. And they're just scriptures, you know, that we lay out. But a lot of times people say, well, I'm praying for my spouse. And then you go back to, well, are you doing what Scripture says and how you need to be praying? Because you might be praying with bitterness in your heart, which blocks your prayer life. You might be praying with doubt, you know, towards God of His ability to be able to intervene. You might be praying, and there's different things that block our prayer life. And then
right. It
says when we are praying in faith, when we're right with God, when we're praying in agreement with other believers, according to the will of God, out of our relationship with Him, God hears that. They're effective. They're powerful. And so we need to go back and say, Lord, I'm going to resign from trying to change my spouse's heart. Because that will stress you out for the rest of your life when you think of something that you can't do. And
right.
so, but when you say, Lord, but here's what I can do. I can walk with You every day. I can create an environment for my spouse to bloom in.
Mm.
And so 1 Peter 3 talks about how when that wife, and really 1 Peter 2 needs to be read first before you read 1 Peter 3, because
mm-hmm.
he says Jesus had these harsh supervisors, authorities, people over His life. They were misunderstanding, they were harsh to Him, and they were belittling Him and mistreating Him even when He was doing the right thing. And He still responded to them in a respectful, honorable way. And then Peter says, therefore, wives, follow this example of Christ with your husbands, even if your husband is unbelieving, that you show respect to him just like Jesus did. And even when you're doing the right thing and your husband is harsh and impatient, you be like Jesus in that environment. Because, and I tell women this too when I'm doing marriage counseling, a man will react and respond and bow up, and he'll put up his guard when his wife is disrespectful to him.
Mm.
But when my wife comes to me, and she walks up to me, and she puts her arms around me, or she looks up into my eyes, and very gently she says, sweetheart, when you called and said you were coming home at such and such a time, and then you came in late and left dinner cold, it made me feel like that you weren't, you know, honoring what you had said and honoring, you know, when she is gentle and respectful, it undoes me. it's more powerful. It's more of a weapon, in a sense, when there's this fragrance of love and gentleness and respect. Men melt when their wives do that. And when a wife is showing that respect to her husband, and again, and Emerson Eggerich talks about this in his book, Love and Respect, it's not that your husband is respectable. You are treating him, and even speaking the truth respectfully, as unto the Lord.
Mm.
You know, we do it, and that's what Scripture says. Wives, support the leadership or submit to your husbands, but do it for the Lord. Don't do it for your husband. He's not going to deserve it. or husbands, love your wives as unto the Lord, or as Christ loved the church. The whole key for us as believers is when we quit attaching our actions and attitudes to the behavior of our spouse, and it becomes dependent on whether that we think they deserve it or have earned it. When
mm-hmm.
we detach from that and we say, Lord, I'm going to let my actions and attitudes be plugged into You and Your unchanging nature and Your unchanging promises, Your unchanging word, and I'm going to do this as unto You, and I'm going to do this for You. When we do that, our behavior becomes consistent and faithful, and that's the motivation that we need to be able to do what we ought to be doing in our relationships.
Oh, I agree. Well, you know, otherwise what we've got is conditional respect.
That's right. That's right.
And I've realized that with Harold. Oh, if you do what I want you to do, I will respect you, honey.
Right.
You know, that is not what, I mean, that's not even love. That's not, you know, we think that, I'll tell you, I've been thinking, and I want to kind of go here next about love and respect, but I've been thinking about how that, you know, it's interesting that the Bible told the wives to respect their husbands, but the husbands to love their wives. I think that's very interesting because I want to say I love Harold, but what I really say, and I know you bring this out in the love there, and you also bring it out in the movie a lot, that we say we love people, but our actions, if, you know, if we are not honoring and respectful to our husbands, then we are really not loving our spouse like we should.
That's right. Are you doing 1 Corinthians 13, which says, okay, here's what love is.
Mm-hmm.
Are you being patient and kind and selfless and not jealous and easily irritated? You know, are you
mm-hmm.
bearing all, believing all, hoping all, enduring all? You know, when you hear that that over half of divorces, 60% of divorces are filed by the wife.
Wow.
And 90% in college-educated homes of divorces are filed by the wife.
Wow.
And what happens is they say, well, I love you. Well, love bears all, believes all, hopes all, endures all. It never fails. And when you say, I have quit loving you, my love has run out, I'm giving up, That's not agape unconditional love.
Right.
And so, and again, the whole key there is we can't do that. The Lord, through His Holy Spirit,
yes,
has to be doing that in our hearts, providing us that love as we're walking in obedience with Him.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes,
that's the whole key there in that. But you're right. You know, we can say with our lips we love someone, but if we're disrespectful and dishonoring to them, that's not the agape love God
Mm-mm.
has called us to.
Mm-mm. I love how in the movie, and I want to real quick move to the movie. I know we're running low on time now, but in the movie, there are a couple things that I noticed, and I'd really like your view on this. I saw a really strong message on love and respect, and I also saw a very strong message that I was really, this is why I think it's my favorite movie ever. I saw a really strong message that there's more than just a contract here. There's a covenant here.
Yes.
And it got, I mean, that's what I've said all along. This is my prayer for me, and it's our prayer, Harold and I, well, actually, it's our prayer for us, but this is our prayer for our children, is that they will have a passionate forever marriage. And when we say that, we mean that they don't just do it because they say they love each other, and then they just go through the humdrum of life, and they just take each other for granted. We want a fiery, passionate, God thing kind of marriage.
Absolutely. Well, and a lot of people don't know the difference between a contract and a covenant. You know, a contract is a written agreement. The reason you want it in writing is because you don't trust the other person. And and it also can be broken with mutual consent. You know, it's a limited liability in the relationship.
Wow.
Well, it's very weak. I mean, when you think about your contract with Verizon Wireless, you know, or with Bell South, or with, you know, when you sign a bank contract to buy a house or whatever, you're doing that not because you love Verizon or not because you love Bell South. It's because you want something from them.
Mm.
A covenant is different. It is motivated by love. And a covenant goes in, and it's a verbal commitment to another person because it's built upon total trust, and it can never be broken. And so God, when He talks about His commitment and relationships with us, He always refers to it as a covenant. He had a covenant with Abraham, with David in Scripture, Jesus, when He held up the wine and the bread at the Last Supper, He said, "This is the blood of the new covenant that is shed for you." And it is based upon love. And so when we make vows at a wedding, you walk down an aisle in front of God and the world. It's premeditated. You know what you're doing. You have all these witnesses. And God is the witness of this covenant. And you make covenant vows that are unconditional to someone else.
Wow.
And what throws us off is our states and our governments say, sign this marriage contract. And they call marriage a contract when you do that. And it throws our thinking off as to the nature of what marriage really is. But if we have a covenant relationship with our spouse, the difference is contract thinking says, I take you for me to make me happy. Covenant
Ooh.
Says, I give myself to you because I love you.
Wow.
That's the picture that Christ did for us.
Yeah. Yeah. And that builds a forever marriage.
Yes. Absolutely.
Wow. That's good. Now, real quick, as we wrap up, now, Tell us what you've got on the horizon. I know that right now you've just released, where we're recording this, you've just had a major release of the movie, and you would not believe what happened in our area. I'm sure that you've probably seen things in your area and probably heard things around the country, but in our area, you could literally not get a ticket for days and
wow.
days.
Where is it?
In North Alabama, in the Florence area.
Okay.
I have a connection at the movies that
Good.
Let me get my ticket. I was so excited. I was like, thank you very much. I just wanted a seat. A seat is all I ask. And she cracks me up because I'm serious. They were running it, not in one or two, but several of our rooms. I probably have a
screens.
Real name. Screens. There you go. They were running it on several screens a night, a day. I mean, every hour it was packed out. I'm
wow.
so impressed. And I want to tell you another thing that I can be your little spy here. When we were down in Baton Rouge, well, first of all, they didn't have the Love Dare up here at my bookstores at the time. And I don't know if they were just sold out or what. But when we went to Baton Rouge, I was, of course, doing my one thing I do. My husband was there shooting a shooting competition. And I get to go to Lifeway when he gets done at night.
Yeah.
That's our love thing that we do for each other. And so anyway, he was taking me to the bookstore, which is my thing. You should know that's why my house is a clutter. That's why I get to bless my house every day. But anyway, we were at Lifeway, and I was just talking. I said, do y'all have any of these Love Dare books maybe in the back? And he said, no, he said, you would not believe. We've sold out. And he said, right now, I think they had like 170 coming for the Monday. And I was like, oh, should we just delay our trip going home?
Yeah.
And when I got back home, I did find a copy. But I was like, he said that they have barely got them out of the box on the shelf. People have been getting them out of the box, getting them out and buying them. And I was thinking, wow, what a glory to God. What a
Amen.
Blessing to hear that. Because to me, there's never a time that marriages need more help than today.
That's right.
And I'm just so excited. So tell us, I like the scoop behind things.
Sure.
What have you got on the horizon?
Well, first, we've just finished working on the DVD release of Fireproof, and it's going to come out January 27th. And we did that so that it would be ready for Valentine's Day. And so we're working on a radio on Christian radio stations all across the nation, kind of an emphasis on recommitting to your marriages during the Valentine's Day season, going through the Love Dare, those kind of things. But
yeah.
The DVD has on it, we put funny stuff like the bloopers and jokes and the mess-ups and stuff, and they're very funny, you know, that are on there. But we also put marriage resources on there for couples. We've got we promote some of the marriage events and activities that are going on around the nation. So we put an internet filter on there that people can download onto their computer and try that out. But we've also got how we made the movie, how we prayed through those decisions. Alex and I do a commentary of the whole movie where people can watch it and understand every scene and how we were praying, what we were thinking. There's Bible study clips on there. And I'm excited because the Sony version that goes out to Walmart and goes to other countries also is going to have those Bible study contents on there, which we didn't have with Facing the Giants, but that will go everywhere. And then they've added some other languages. They've added Arabic and Russian and Korean, Mandarin Chinese subtitles, all of those things on there so that people can use it as missionaries in other countries, you know, but they can use the movie for ministry. So we're thrilled because it will put the movie into the hands of the people so that they can sit down with their next-door neighbors whose marriage is hanging by a thread or their kids or wherever and say, let's watch this and talk about this together, you know. And so churches are also, we've set up a site license program so they can use the movie for evangelism in their communities.
Wow.
So that's a big deal as well. We've also, we just finished a curriculum that Lifeway is about to put out. And it's cool because it will include the movie in the curriculum, and it also has, it walks through the Love Dare where you can do it as a group and meet every week, and then it ends with a challenge of a making a recommitment to a covenant marriage and not just a contract.
Wow.
That whole curriculum is laid out. But movie-wise, people want to know, what's your next movie going to be about, you know? And so right now, the Lord hasn't told us. So we're... the word from him in the last few weeks has been that we need to rest and we need to spend time with our wives and kids and we need to pray.
Oh, that's good.
So we want to tell everybody, hey, here's what we're going to do next. But we've got a lot of movie ideas. Alex does, my brother does as well. But we want the God idea, not just the good idea.
And real quick, they know Alex. He was the coach Facing the Giants,
He played Grant Taylor in Facing the Giants. And actually, he played Jay Austin in Flywheel.
Okay, Oh, and y'all didn't let him act this time, huh? You kept him busy behind the scenes.
he was the director of this movie, so he was able to focus in on that. And we didn't know if Kirk was going to be a fit for this movie because what we were looking for, but God told us this is the guy
that
can do this. And we are so grateful because he did an incredible job in Fireproof.
He was amazing. That was, I think, his best role ever. And like I said, this is my favorite movie ever. I know that people are thinking, she's just saying that because she's talking to him. No, you listen to me next week, and I'll tell you that's my favorite movie ever. He just knocked it out of the ballpark.
Did you hear about the kiss at the end of the movie? Do you know what happened there?
I did hear about that, but tell about it because somebody may have not heard it.
Okay. There's a big romantic kiss at the end of Fireproof, and we wanted to honor Kirk's marriage, and we also have this standard that we don't need to be doing anything on screen that we wouldn't be doing in real life. And
oh,
so we flew in Kirk's wife to be the kissing double of our lead actress, so that, and we shot it in silhouette, and so you can't tell it's somebody different. We put her, the same dress on her, but Kirk is actually kissing his own wife in that big romantic scene, not the lead actress, and it helped us to honor his marriage as we're communicating to the world that they need to honor their own marriages. So that was a thrill for us to get to do that.
And, just every detail is like that in the movie. There's obviously excellence, obviously sticking to total biblical principles. I really would love to see Hollywood taken by storm. I'd like to see them pay attention to this.
Absolutely.
Because, to me, I would love to be able to go every week to see some movie that challenges me to be a better person and to be a godly woman. I would love every week to be able to go to a movie like this. Now, I'm happy when I get my DVD, I'll watch that every week. Until I may have to pray the other end.
Right.
But, I just appreciate what you guys have done. This is so what we need at this time. This is a privilege to have you here on Mom to Mom Radio Show. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate you coming.
Well, thank you for what you're doing. And people can go to fireprooftheMovie.com, and there are thousands of stories on there that you can read about marriages that are being reconciled right now because of the movie. It's so exciting. And there's information about the DVD and stuff that is on there too. But thank you for your ministry and what you're doing. And please be praying for us for the future. We really want the Lord's direction. We're not interested in running ahead of Him or taking the reins back from Him. So.
No. I can tell that. That's the excellence with this is obviously God dripping off of it. There's nothing that is not totally amazing. This means so much to me, and I just want to thank you for your time. I want to thank you for just pouring out so generously with your heart, because marriages mean everything to God. They are a picture. They're a picture to the culture of His love for us. And
That's right. It's
so important what we do within our marriage because of that picture, but also because of the legacies we're building. This is so important what we do in our marriages, and we don't want to bomb this. We want it to be fireproof, don't we?
Absolutely. A godly marriage is a picture of Christ and His bride to the church. It is a powerful witness to the world. And if we could begin to pray and move towards trying to eliminate divorce in our own individual churches, God would just be glorified. The people in the community would be drawn to that, and our kids would grow up in a home where they would see Jesus' love in the way that their parents treat one another, and that's what we want to happen.
Mm-hmm. And then they can have passionate forever marriages.
That's right. Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate this. And
God
hope you have many, many blessings, and tell everybody I'm so impressed.
Thank you, Cindy.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Well, thank you also for coming to Mom to Mom Radio Show today. Did you have a blast? Well, just in case you'd like to stay in touch with us, be sure to check our website at momtomomradioshow.com. There, you'll be able to download this show and other shows. Of course, you probably have already downloaded this show. But you can also listen there on our site, or you can be able to subscribe by RSS feed, so you can be able to listen to each and every show. We've got a great year ahead, so don't miss that. And also, don't forget, go by and check out fireprooftheMovie.com. That's where our guest came from today, and I know that you probably really enjoyed Stephen. Let them know that you enjoyed this interview, and don't forget, grab that movie when it's hot off the reel or dubbers or whatever you want to call it. Grab that movie. It will change your life. If you've got it playing at your local movies, go and watch it. Don't miss this movie. It's amazing and it's life-changing. I think that you guys will really enjoy it. Well, that's the end of this show this week for Mom to Mom Radio Show. Join us again next week when we talk mom to mom. The music provided tonight comes from the Podshow PodSafe Music Network. Check it out today at music.podshow.com. The music you heard on this show comes from Highest Praise Productions, which produces and publishes modern worship, praise, and instrumental music from various artists and writers. Because their publishing company owns the rights to their music, they are able to release PodSafe music for increased exposure to the masses. Check out more of their music at www.highestpraise.com. And don't forget, while you're online, to check out our website, cindyrushton.com and momtomomradioshow.com. See you there.